Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Hello, winners. It slightly blows my mind to tell you this, but in this episode, I'm just talking to the strongest woman in the whole world. No biggie. Just the strongest woman in the whole fucking world. Andrea Thompson, she's British. She lives in Suffolk and incredibly agreed to talk to me and hoover with me. Her story, as you'll hear, is incredible. I fucking love doing this podcast. Everyone should know who this badass woman is, please. We had a lot of fun having lunch together. Thanks for listening to Hoovering, by the way. I'm very grateful. You can tell other people about it if you like. One of the ways to do that is just to subscribe to it and to give it a 5-star review. Easy job. I've got really exciting news. Hoovering Live is back. I've got an absolute bloody whopper in the diary. 17th of July, 5 p.m. in Soho as part of the Underbelly Festival in Cavendish Square. I am going to be doing a Hoovering Live with, and there are more guests to be announced, well, there's definitely one more to be announced soon, but with Joe Brand. So please can you come to that, actually? I want it to be packed. You can't embarrass me. I can't have booked Joe Brand and not have you all there watching us hoover and bring your snacks and we can talk about what you're hoovering too and celebrate the joy of eating with actual Joe Brand. Me, her and all of you, please. All of you and all of your mates and mums and dads. Yes? Okay, good. If you would like discount tickets to that, why don't you become a patron? Go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod and in exchange for your hard-earned wedge, I will swap you podcast-related perks like guest recipes and discount tickets to live shows for some of you. For those of you who are already my patron, your discount code is coming soon. Just waiting for that from the Underbelly now. If you think, oh, I'd like to give your podcast a fiver and then never talk about it again, you can do that. Go to Acast Supporter. A few warnings before we get into it this week. Andrew and I do talk about calories and weight cutting, and there are an example or two of some like sort of really flagrant disordered eating. And they're all in the context of talking about the things some athletes put themselves through. So there's context for it all, but if you're somebody who needs to be really careful about listening to that stuff, I'm afraid there is some of that in there. Okay, so Andrea and I met over the Zooms because she lives far away from me and we both had a chili for lunch. She's done a much better job of hers than I had of mine, embarrassingly.
It's pink Himalayan salt.
Oh, that is the snazziest salt there is. Lush. Thank you so much for doing this.
No problem.
How are you?
Oh, a bit frantic. Yeah. Just literally got in from the gym.
Yeah.
So I'm still a bit, I'm still buzzing.
Still buzzing. What were you up to in there today?
I was deadlifting today.
Oh, God.
And I was in I was hyped up so much, actually, that I just couldn't count. Not count. Had my calculator out. Thought I'd done my top set.
Yeah.
And then I went to count down again. I thought, this doesn't add up right. Realised I'd done 10 kilos too short. So I did it again.
Oh, God.
I know. And I'm standing there like 10 minutes in between the set. And I swear people are looking at me going, what is she doing? Oh. I'm just trying to count.
Oh, God. Amazing. I mean, it's so nosy because it's about your training and not about eating at all. But like, so do you go up to a top weight to do a set of a short amount of reps at and then come back down again?
Yeah, so at the moment I'm on a strength base, so it's nice. It's shorter reps but heavier weights,
right?
So I'm on, so today should have been 240 kilos for two reps.
Fuck,
and then drop down.
it's so amazing those numbers. Incredible.
And then dropped down to 195. And that was what confused me. And I'm trying to take all the plates off. And
Yeah. There's so much maths involved, isn't there?
There is. Trying to lift and count at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're absolutely McFrazzled from what you're doing, they're actually having to keep on top of it. I've got so many things I want to ask you. It's going to be really hard to concentrate on eating because I mainly want to talk about gym things. But it's because it's such a fucking honour to have you here. But we're having lunch together. I should say that straight off the bat. We're both having chili. I have cheated. I've got a bean chili because I eat meat, but very rarely. And I just cheated and got it out of a tin.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not great. I've got like a bean chili out of a tin. And I've stirred half a bag of spinach in, not out of altruism or healthiness, but because it was on the turn.
Okay.
And then I've done some really lazy 5-whole grain pouch of rice from Lidl. Have you made yours from scratch and put me to shame?
Yeah. So good. I'm on a meal prep at the moment, so it's just easier for me to make it in a batch twice a week.
Cool.
And then it's just in the fridge, stacked up. I'm living the Tupperware life right now, so I literally just chucked it all in the microwave. So I made a batch of lean chili and some jasmine rice. I've tried jasmine rice for the first time ever today.
How are you feeling about it?
Well, it's sticky.
It's so nice, isn't it? I always think, it's going to smell of flowers, but
no, it is nice. It's quite sweet, but it's not sweet at all. It's just sticky, which is fine. It's nice.
Do you have somebody who decides what you eat, or do you get to make it up based on what's in it?
No, well, so I have a nutritionist. At the moment, I'm still trying to lose some fat, but I'm still trying to keep my strength up. So
yeah,
I'm not dieting. I'm just on a plan that enables me to have the right carbohydrates and protein.
Right.
So the plan is beef, mince and rice, and then just make it sexy.
Right. And you're allowed to make it sexy. I like that. Is that exactly how a nutritionist puts it? You have that and that, and then you make it sexy.
Make it sexy. Add vegetables to it. Add tomatoes, because tomatoes are quite low in calories anyway.
Yeah.
And then just chuck loads of flavour in it.
Okay, great.
There you go. Oh, so it just takes, lovely. Having a nutritionist just takes the stress out of me having to think about the level of things I need to eat. So
yeah, but do they factor in days where you can do what you like or not really?
Well, kind of. I'm still quite new with this guy, so I don't want to have any cheat days just yet, because I want to go for a month and then
fine.
I really want pizza. I just want to eat a massive pizza, to be honest.
Yeah, fair play. Do a month and then have a pizza Friday. Fair play.
Yeah, definitely.
I I don't know how well I'd do with someone telling me what to do in terms of eating, but I guess it's worth it for the greater goal because it makes it so strong. I want to know everything and I don't really know where to start. I wanted to know how complicated and how strict it is having someone tell you what to eat is. But they give you enough to eat always. I know lots of people who've had trainers who put them on really restrictive stuff and it's not necessarily, it just feels, that sounds exhausting.
So this is my second nutritionist. I've gone through the whole of this journey without having a nutritionist as a heavyweight athlete.
Wow.
I've never thought about what I needed to eat. I just ate because I could.
Yeah.
So it's only been since the start of lockdown, the very first lockdown, that I thought actually I was still eating as if I was training for competitions, but obviously everything was shut.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just got bigger and I didn't like it.
Yeah.
So I just hired a nutritionist just to help me lose a little bit of weight.
Right.
And just to keep fueling the little bit of training that I was doing.
Right.
And they had me on some very low calories, like 1900 calories. And it was good for a couple of months because I lost a lot of weight quickly. But I was like, actually, do you know what? I'm really weak. I can't lift anything.
Yeah.
So I kind of did it on my own for a little bit. I thought I'm not paying someone to starve me.
To make me really tired and hungry.
Yeah.
Fine.
I was miserable, absolutely miserable.
Yeah.
And then with this guy, he's a feeder. I was like,
yeah, now we're talking.
So, yeah, on a training day, I'm on 2,700 calories.
Okay.
Which is still quite low, actually, for a heavyweight athlete.
Mm.
But I'm still, it's very lean food. Mm-hmm. So I'm full. Okay. Sometimes I don't even eat everything that's on the plan. It's that much, to be honest. So.
I just wanted to check for my soul that you were full. You don't.
I'm full. Yeah,
I don't want anybody to ever pick up 240 kilograms twice and not get to be full in the same day. Can we start with your? Because I've read bits and bobs, but also you never know how much of that's what really happened because it's in sort of papers and interviews and stuff like that. I'd love to know how you made your way into sort of strength, especially competitive. Strongman stuff, strong woman stuff, strong person stuff, strong stuff. Should we just say strong stuff? I read that you, your sister's wedding, and it was initially to lose weight and ended up going to a CrossFit gym and ended up realizing you were fucking strong and then going down that road in the end anyway. And then presumably outside of competing, sort of letting go of the exercising to change what you look like and embracing exercise in order to meet your potential strength-wise competitively. Is that about right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay,
pretty much.
It's a very short autobiography I've written for you there.
Yeah, that was great.
I want more detail on everything. I also train at a CrossFit gym, but I also, my preference is for strength and weightlifting, powerlifting, and I just have started to sort of flirt with the world of strongman competitions, and I'm very excited about it, but also aware at this stage, if there's something underneath novice, that's where I'm at, but I'm very keen.
There is a category, first timers, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't count anyone out.
Yeah.
It was just one of those things where I actually started off as a boot camp and it was a Groupon that my sister found. And it was like £17 for 10 sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a gateway into the CrossFit club that they owned as well.
Right.
And that was quite nice. And then we did another Groupon for their CrossFit classes and I ended up just staying there. And at that point, my sister was getting married and I was bridesmaid. And we used that exercise class together to lose the weight, just to help her to get into her wedding dress and the dress that she wanted me to get into. I just wanted to lose some weight and just to be supportive with her. And it just got to the point where I just didn't like the fit side of CrossFit. I hated running. Anything that would gas me out, I would always have an injury or a complaint that I managed to get out of. And it was actually during Grace, so the Grace Ward.
Yeah.
That one of the coaches was like, Andrew, I've never seen a woman or anyone do it as quickly as that. You know, anyone under like 3 minutes wow. to get it all out is really impressive. You know, have you considered any like strong strengths or competitions or competitive sport? And I was like, no, never heard of it. Just a little bit of research, a bit of Googling, yeah. found Britain's Strongest Woman. I thought I'll enter that because I can do the deadlift.
Amazing. Because you could already deadlift the requirement for it.
Yeah. Okay. I think the requirement was about 160 kilos. And I wow. had done that in the gym.
Wow.
So, apart from one guy, I think I was top of the leaderboard for women and men.
Get in.
At that point. So I entered, had no idea what I was doing. I just knew that I could deadlift. My squat was pretty good. I think at the time I managed to get about 160, 170.
Wow.
And that was 6 weeks, within 6 weeks, and I came third at that competition. So I was like, oh, I'm not bad at this.
That's insane. That's amazing. Yeah. That is amazing. It's what blows my mind about it is the fact that it's like, it just feels like, you know, the butterfly effect. Like if you hadn't gone in with the intention of getting in a, like the idea to me of getting, trying to get in a dress that someone else, for someone else, it's even harder. Like the idea that it's, you're doing something.
My dress was horrible.
Oh. Well, yeah, the idea, I don't love wearing dresses anyway, but like the idea of going in with that intention, but ending up finding out that you are that strong naturally. And then I suppose on top of that, then going like, oh God, well, what's going to happen if I really try? Mm-hmm. And what's happened is it turns out you're the strongest woman in the world, which is pretty fucking cool. Like, it's just, that's just, it's the stuff that dreams are made of, isn't it? It's the most incredible story.
It
mate.
Was very bizarre, very, very bizarre. And it, you know, I was still CrossFitting as well for a year.
Right.
But the techniques are very different. I had to change my style of deadlift to get heavier reps. I had to learn how to breathe properly. Mm-hmm. We had my coach then got somebody in to kind of help me use a belt and learn how to breathe inside the belt.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the bracing, I've never had to brace before because everything is just bash, bash, bash with CrossFit.
Massive reps, isn't it?
Yeah. So when you kind of slow that down and take it into 3 and 5 reps at really pushing yourself level.
Yeah.
It was a whole new level of training for me. So I had to change my style of training. And then I had to just literally choose one. I couldn't do both. It was breaking me. I couldn't do both.
And then I
never really got serious until like 2017, 2018. So I was about 3 years into it before I really took it seriously. It was still just a hobby, an expensive hobby. After that, it was just like, okay, I'm going to put everything into this.
Mm. Amazing. Hopefully September will be the first time we get to show off.
I think it should be okay because that competition isn't going to be, it's not like the Arnold. The Arnold is very much an exhibition place.
Right.
So you've got thousands and thousands of people coming and going. You've got stall holders and people selling stuff.
And isn't it all sorts of types of strength? There's like a strongman competition. Yeah. There's bodybuilding. There's like bikini models and shit.
There's about 100 different sports. You've got hula hooping, you've got gymnastics, you've got kettlebells, you've got karate, you've got children doing all sorts of stuff. There's CrossFit.
I'm going to say it sounds like a fucking circus.
It's amazing. It's probably one of the best places I've ever been to, one of the best events I've done. There is just 3 days of every kind of sport going.
Yeah.
And then obviously
lots
I'm involved.
Records get broken there and stuff, don't they? And Arnie's there shaking your hand if you do something special.
It's so funny. Because he doesn't appear all the time. All of a sudden, you'll just see like this swarm of middle-aged guys in khaki-coloured clothes, and they're not even like it's like their own little uniform, and it's like a swarm of ants, and everyone just that's the parting of the sea. Yeah. What is going on? And then there's Arnie's actually quite short compared to these guys. Yeah, he looks quite little compared to them all, and there he is, just kind of like shaking hands, and people just literally stopping what they're doing and. I've been like arm distance away from him, and he's
mate.
Been ushered away. He's been ushered away.
This next March next year, I reckon you'll be elbow bumping if nothing else.
Grab him. I'm just gonna grab him. See what happens.
I'm double jabbed, Arnie. I'm coming in for a cuddle. Yeah. That'd be me. Hello, party. How excited. And I know you said that you would normally only have like some like real focus on what you are and aren't eating in the run up to a competition. So how does it change? If you're not in a category where you have to be under a certain weight, does that mean, how does that change how you have to eat in a run up to something? Because I've spoken to weightlifters in their top category and they actually have to keep their weight above a certain weight to make sure that they're at their most competitive. Would it work like that in strongman as well?
So if you are a weighted category person,
yeah,
a lot of people, I've seen some mad diets. People have cut so badly and they do water cuts, which means they stop drinking like nearly 24 hours before. I've seen people on an aeroplane licking ice cubes, chewing food and spitting out again.
Oh, just so they've got something. Just really, really, really obviously disordered eating.
Yeah, and I'm just doing it again.
Yeah, boy! Get in!
I'm such a bitch. I'm just like, this is really nice.
You pick the right sport, mate, and you pick the right categories.
Yeah, definitely. Those guys, I have seen some people do some mad, weight cutting to get, because they on the normally it's like a 24-hour weigh-in, right. So you get weighed the day before the competition.
Okay,
and they've got like stacks of food with them. So once they've weighed, then they're like, wah.
They're in.
And some of them can put on an extra another 5 kilos in that 24-hour period.
I reckon I'd be all right at that bit.
Yeah, that definitely champion at eating the food. But with myself, this is the first time I've actually eaten properly, I suppose.
Yeah.
I would just eat more because my body was just needing it. I just needed to eat food. So I would just eat anything and everything. At the time when I was going for World's Strongest Woman, my coach was like, you just need to eat like you want to get fat.
Right.
And so I was going to McDonald's on the way to the gym, having something before the gym, having it after the gym.
Yeah.
I would have like breakfast and I'd have a second breakfast.
Yeah.
So I was eating a lot. I don't even know what calories, because
I don't mind year. What I'm not. Yeah. If that's your MO again, though, I wonder. Yeah. I mean, I'm being very nosy and you can tell me to get fucked if I'm being too nosy, but so I've got a history of disordered eating. So I basically have to have a very kind of like, I can't overthink it. I can't get myself into a position where I'm going to overthink it or be too controlling or anything.
Yeah.
So I wonder whether it's not as hard as, the guys who are licking a fucking ice cube and, headaches and knackered and really restricting. But I wonder, actually, being sort of the people I've spoken to in athletes who, when you're forced to like, actually, you've got to stuff food in when you're not hungry, it can be just as much of a head fuck, can't it? To like,
yes, it can.
It's another form of detaching from your actual hunger and fullness, isn't it?
Yeah, there is. I mean, I don't have a great relationship with food either. So it's all where I eat when I'm stressed. I mean, I eat for every emotion basically, but when I'm stressed or anxiety, I just eat and I binge.
Yeah.
So going into having a nutritionist who was then like giving me calories, making me track everything, that became a massive head fuck to me. And I was under eating, then I was getting headaches, and then I was trying to sort it out. And then when I get hungry and I don't think I can have any food, then the anxiety kicks in again, and then I start binging. So that's when I had to kind of leave that nutritionist, because it just wasn't working for me.
I'm so happy that you left the nutritionist and you found one that's a feeder. Andrea,
yeah, it's
so
amazing. It's amazing. And I get to have chocolate every day. Chocolate is in my plan every day. So I'm pretty pleased with that.
I think you found the nutritionist of all of our dreams. Yeah. And this is amazing.
When I see him, I'm just going to hug him and just,
But also it's... But good for you as well for calling it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think when you, as someone who's like, I've been doing this podcast for 3 years and I'd say that 99.9% of 99% of my guests have been women, but 99.9% of them have had at some point some complications with eating in their life. And I think that binge eating and me too, that's my background with flirtations with other bits and bobs. But it's... It's like the one that there's the most shame around. It's like the least sexy type of not great relationship with eating. But also it's the most common. I think there's so much misinformation around it in terms of like, People talk a lot about eating, emotional eating, as if it's a terrible thing to do, but it's also like the human condition. We're designed to really want food to make us it makes you feel nice. It does a lot more than being just fuel, I believe. For me, I think there are some people who can just switch off and have it as just fuel. But it is that, I think it takes an incredible amount of self-awareness to be able to call it when actually, like, the thing you're doing to be the best you can be at your chosen sport or your passion. Or even if you did go, no, I want to change my body in this way. I want to see what my body looks like shredded. Or I want to see what my body looks like in this way or that way. Actually, it does take an incredible knowledge of yourself. I'm being very wordy here, sorry. To call it when actually it's doing you more harm than good and you need to take a break and you need to reset and you need to talk to someone else. It's like when you realise a relationship with a therapist isn't perfect or even with like a friend or a lover. Do you know what I mean? In all of those things, you're like, oh, actually, I might be putting more in than I'm getting out of this one. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have to shift it up a bit. I'm so happy that you found a nutritionist that gives you chocolate every day.
It just wasn't, you know, it was great at the start because I think at the time my marriage was breaking down as well. So I've had marriage separation, COVID. Well, I hadn't had COVID. I think I had COVID before it became cool, to be honest, before it was a thing.
Oh, mate.
And I set the trend for COVID. No, I didn't. That's really bad. I actually think I did catch it in the January before, because it started around March time.
Yeah, I think I had it in February. I think it was knocking about a few months before for sure.
I just had all that stress and I needed a different focus. And obviously I was homeschooling the children.
Oh, God.
And like, I just felt like my life was crumbling around me. I needed something that I could control. Yeah. And the food side of things was something that I thought I could control. Yeah. So I gave, well, my control was giving that control to somebody else.
Yep.
And in actual fact, over a period of time, it was causing me more stress and I was, you know, extra just not a nice person. Yeah. And I've always been a big girl. You know, my family are big. I've come from a line of big women. We're kind of like force-fed as children. You have to eat everything on your plate and it's all rice and, you know, deep-fried food and...
Yeah.
You know, so that's something that I've stopped kind of the cycle with my own children is that I'd, you know, freshly
that's
cook
hard
everything.
As well, isn't it?
Yeah. The food relationship has been a new thing. It's been not to use it as punishment or just enjoy it. Enjoy food again.
Yeah.
But waking up my taste buds actually, and like making my brain and my taste buds kind of come together. So,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And taking a minute and going, oh, how's that going to make me feel?
Yeah.
I feel like it's ongoing. Like it's not like a thing that you go, and then I was fixed.
No, not at all.
because people are constantly changing, as are our situations, like you're saying about the breakup and stuff like that. I found in my life, big breakups have meant the least appetite I've ever had. And I have always also always been a big girl and always been a very hungry girl. And I'm always a bit like, what's going on? When I'm not very hungry. But breakups is one of the times that does that, where it is like, just don't feel like eating very much. Either that or very high adrenaline.
Yeah.
Those are the only times where I'm not very hungry a lot. You mentioned eating growing up. Let's talk about eating growing up. Mm-hmm. So did you have somebody who cooked for you?
Yeah, so
did
my mum
in Ipswich.
I grew up in just outside of Ipswich in Woodbridge.
Uh-huh.
I like to say Woodbridge a lot more because Woodbridge is quite posh compared to Ipswich. I've grown up around here. My mum and my stepdad were there. My mum, you know, cooked all the time. My dad was a pretty good cook. And then we got family that lived in Hitchin. So we would go and, you know, sort of family events and stuff backwards and forwards there. So it was always very rich food. Right. You know, we were never without anything. Mum always made sure that there was food in the cupboards for us. So there was almost like a free for all food. We had like a drawer in the fridge that was full of chocolates and stuff, and it was just help yourself.
Yeah.
And then I started to work in hospitality. So the food was just always available. I would eat my dinner like at 12 o'clock at night. and I'd sleep until like lunchtime because I was working so late. So the cycle of, of meal times just became very erratic. And then obviously you're going into your teens and you're out partying and drinking and eating kebabs at 1 a.m. So I was never like, at the time I thought I was a fat child, but you know, when you look back in photos and think you weren't at all, Andrew, you just weren't. and even as a teenager, yes, I was a lot bigger than my friends, but I definitely wasn't the fat teenager that I thought I was. And so that kind of mentality, when you've got really skinny friends who are walking around in, at the time it was like the Spice Girls era, so it was hot pants and crop tops.
I think we're exactly the same age, actually. I'm 37. I had
I'm 38. So yeah, it was around that time, and I just couldn't wear the hot pants because I'd got big legs and a fat ass.
Same. All my mates got their belly buttons pierced, and I went, "I'll just get my tongue done. I'll get my tongue done. I'm more likely to get that out."
I mean, I wasn't allowed to get my tongue done. I did get my belly button pierced. And the rest of it, I got pierced as well. But didn't tell my mum about that. so yeah, it was odd. You know, we just kind of, at the time you think that you've got a problem and you look back 10, 15, 20 years later and you think actually you didn't. But it causes a snowball effect as you're going into your adult life.
Yeah, totally. And I think the more you like exactly that, you've branded yourself as the fat kid.
Yeah, you do.
Well, it affects your confidence in a million different ways because you're not using fat in a neutral term there at all. Like, it's only negative. And it sounds like you had, like, at least some of the people feeding you had feederish tendencies. I definitely had a bit of that. I had my dad and his mum are from a family of showing their love with masses of food. But they unhelpfully combined it with like a visceral hatred of fat people.
Okay.
So they'd want me to eat like an enormous amount and be very proud of how much I could eat, but very disappointed if I showed it, it in body mass, which I did from very young. Yeah, it is. It's complicated, isn't it? Endlessly complicated. Delicious.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm going to ask a few more questions about eating in terms of being super strong, if that's all right. Do you have to have like... If someone was like, okay, I want to get really strong, do they have to have loads of supplements or loads of extra protein? No,
the supplements are mainly like a backup. If you don't get the supplements in your actual edible food, then use it like a protein shake.
Fine.
As an extra, you know, as a supplement, it's in the word, it's a supplement, you know, it's not supposed to be a permanent fixture. I don't, at the moment, I'm not taking any protein supplements because I'm getting enough in my food. So a lot of people have like a protein shake when they're finished training. I just tend to eat. So I've always got food on me. or I know I'm coming to get some food. Right. So I get everything then. But I think there is definitely an element of getting enough protein and enough carbohydrates in your diet.
Yeah.
Because you need to build the muscle. So you're using the carbohydrates to get stronger, and then you're using the protein to help repair the muscles that you're breaking. So, you know, it you do need to get a balance. And again, I've had to learn this. It's not something, I mean, I'm preaching now because I've learned it over the last year.
Yeah, I know we're cheating by getting all of your years of learning in one handy podcast conversation, mate. So thank you from me and everyone listening.
No problem.
Okay, I'm going to ask you the same silly questions I ask everyone who does this podcast, but I'd love to know, please, if what's the best tasting thing you've ever eaten that looked like shit? Worst looking, but best tasting thing you've ever eaten, or anything that's up there in that category?
Oh, I think
chili doesn't look amazing. Oh, curried goat.
Curried goat just looks like poo.
Yeah.
But it tastes, if it's cooked properly, it tastes amazing.
Yeah. Where it's all falling off the bone in there.
You've got the bones, you've got the marrow bones, you're just slurping out the bits out of there.
It's so good for you. They're so good for you.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I might have to have that soon. Might have to have that soon. I'm lucky. I live in Southeast London, and there's lots of places where I can get real good takeaways on that front. And it's been too long, actually.
There isn't anywhere like that around here, actually. I have to come near your end to get
Please.
Unless my mum cooks it.
When this virus is completely gone, please may you come to Catford and we'll go for lunch. I would love that. And you can show me how to deadlift. not in a CrossFit way where I'm still picking it up as if I'm going to do something more with it. Is there any foods that you hate or love that most people do the opposite of? Do you know what I mean? I'm not sure if I've worded that nicely, but like you get people who are like, actually, turns out I don't like chocolate. Or like, well, I'll tell you one thing I do love, squirrel's ears.
Okay. Well, weirdly, I like banana flavoured things. But I don't like bananas.
Okay, that is weird. That is genuinely weird. And has never come up before.
Oh, really? Bananas.
Yeah.
I love banana flavoured stuff. Even if I can have a banana smoothie that I've just put a whole banana in, but I cannot eat a banana.
Well, it does make sense because it is a bit furry.
Mm-hmm.
What's your worst kind of banana to just have a banana? A real ripe one or a real green?
The green one.
Green.
No, it's like chalk. It's like chalk and just.
If you're listening, Andrew's done a really good face. I really liked it. Wow. I really liked it. Yeah. I really understand that. Like, it's like furry, almost like. I'm going to say like a cat's tongue. It's almost like a cat's tongue. It's like bit spiky, bit furry. It tastes like it should be sweet. Why aren't you sweet?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you on that one. But you go too far the other way, and I think that's worse, personally. If you've got a banana that's gone to like...
squishy.
Sweet brown. That I'm not into. But it gets... banana flavouring gets panned, doesn't it, on food shows like MasterChef and Bake Off and all of that. People get in such shit, don't they, if they squirt a bit of banana essence into their cake instead of using a banana. But you like it. Do you like them sweets that are shaped like a little foamy banana? Do you
remember? Yeah, I love banana foams,
Yeah.
Yeah, I do like
what they're called, banana foams.
I think so, that's what I'm going to call them.
I'm going to get some banana foams in for when I get to come down to Catford for some curry goat. I love it. If what would you say the swankiest thing you've ever eaten is?
Swankiest? I had a steak at it's a really posh restaurant with the theatre next to it.
In London?
The Savoy. had a really swanky steak, and it was very strange because I was like, oh my God, we're going to get kicked out. We don't look like we're supposed to be in here. And the steak got presented. Well, they said, you know, you got the steak. And I said, what does it come with? And he said, steak. And I said, £30 for this steak.
What?
I said, okay. I know. And it looked amazing and pretty on this plate. So it came with this jug of jus. It's just gravy, mate. And the waiter was standing there. He said, would you like me to pour the jus over your steak? And I was like, well, I can do it myself, but if you want to do something, then...
I'd love it if you'd gone, yes, please, it's too heavy for me.
Heavy. But I was just like, yeah, that was literally the swankiest thing I think I've ever eaten was a steak at the Savoy.
That sounds amazing. And it's proper... That is a massive dick swing, isn't it, on the power play to be like, it just comes with itself. You're not going to want anything else with this.
Yeah, or a tomato. Like, yeah, it came with a tomato on the side. I was like,
just one little tomato. Okay. Yeah. Makes me think of hotel buffet breakfasts, those little tomatoes cut in half that you get sat next to a steak, often in like a harvester or whatever.
Yeah.
Griddled to the point of volcanic temperatures inside, aren't they?
Yes.
Always. Yeah. And that tastes like punishment, actually. And I love tomatoes, but I think that's a tomato.
Again, I don't like actual tomatoes neither. I don't like fresh tomatoes. Again, tomato ketchup.
Yep.
You've got me on a roll now. So tomato ketchup, tomato, anything that's like tomato flavoured.
Yeah.
I cannot put a tomato in my mouth.
Got it. Right.
It has to be cooked, especially. So even then, it would have to be sort of mixed with something. So slice of tomato with a mouthful of something else.
Right. Okay.
Just can't pop a tomato.
Just too much acid, too much. Or is it texture again? Is it the bursty nature of it?
I think it's the texture. Yeah, it's like eyeballs in your mouth, popping eyeballs. Not that I've done that before.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, all of this stuff is absolute sweet, sweet gold. I'm fascinated by everybody's eating foibles. Is there anything you eat in a particular way? I mean, the classic is Cadbury's cream egg that everyone's like, how do you eat yours?
So Cadbury's cream egg, I do like to bite off the top, lick out the middle, and then I eat the sides.
And this is all done tongue wise, or does a hand get in there?
Sometimes a finger gets in there.
I get a finger in there.
I do like to eat a mango fresh from the skin, like, you know, I cut it open and then it's like mango juice.
Well,
everywhere.
Actually, do you know what, I've got a mango special podcast coming up. An amazing comedian called Sindhu V, who and she's an actor as well, and she's a mate, and she's, her Instagram has gone bonkers because she's started importing, in her opinion, the greatest mangoes in the world directly from India. And I've had two, and she said, I'll send you some for the podcast. I've had two fucking massive boxes full of mangoes. And like, I realised I had, from her Instagram, that I have been apparently very much eating mangoes in a very much a white lady way.
Okay.
Unsurprising, I am a white lady. But she was like, all of this, like cutting it in bits and like cutting it off, like blah, blah. And she was like, and this woman is like, she's very glamorous. She's very demure. She's very kind of like high status vibes. Do you know what I mean? She's grown up. Her kids are like teenagers. She's very light. She's like, but when you eat a mango, it's got to be like, I think that's the thing.
Animalistic,
like,
I was like,
yeah. And so, okay, it's good to know that you're also down with that. And I think I've just been, I think if you and her are saying that, what I've learned is I've spent 37 years eating mangoes wrong. You just need to, what do you just get, like a adult beer bon, a couple of tea towels tucked in the top, and just get in.
Do you know what, I'm normally just like letting it dribble down my hands and wiping my hands on my clothes kind of person.
I'm literally
just like, you know, wiping the back of my hand around my mouth. And
me too. And I are your kids like that? I don't know why I'm really allowing myself to get into this because it's so embarrassing, but I have I am such a hobo in that way that my son is similarly, uncouth. And he dropped a bit of yogurt onto the remote control yesterday, and my partner was like, no, because he just started licking it directly off the doobry. I would too. And
my
I sort of look at it and go.
Like that,
oh, okay, you've got better kids than me.
No, my kids are just like, oh, Mum, that is so gross. I'm like, yeah, but just don't want to waste anything. Mum, just, no. If I drop something on the floor, 10-second rule. No, Mum, it's a 5-second rule. Nah, 10-second rule, it's fine.
Yes! Oh, I love it. Oh, God, how old are your kids?
9 and 12.
Okay, mine's only 5. So I've got a few years before he starts putting me right.
No, they do.
We had a conversation this morning where I was like, it blew his mind that I was telling him that in a few years' time, he's going to find me really embarrassing. And he was like, yeah. What? I was like, yeah, you are.
Yeah. They kind of, I think because of what I do, like outside of the family home, they're used to the craziness. So when I'm acting like crazy mum at home, they're just like, for God's sake, mum. Yeah, I'm like, come on, you know, I'm like really dorkish with them sometimes. But they're just not really fazed by it.
Say scrumdiddlyumptious. And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrumdiddlyumptious.
Well, I normally like to ask a hangover, what would you have?
A hangover?
Yeah. What are you having?
Gin. Well, for a major hangover would be gin and Prosecco. I like
to mix. Oh, right, to make the hangover. To make the
Nowadays, then, it doesn't take a lot to get a hangover, to be honest.
Yeah, fair play. You just can't drink very much when you're training, but also I've just found getting a bit older, I can't.
Yeah, it's not so... I mean, I'd like to have a drink. I can still have a couple of glasses of wine and I'll have a cider on a Sunday or whatever, but to go out and just get drunk just isn't fun anymore.
Yeah.
And I reckon A, because of the hangover comes so much quicker and it lasts so much longer. It does mess with my training. You know, it takes me a couple of days to get over it. And then that's, you know, Mondays come round and I can't lift anything and I'm like crappy. So I just generally go through phases of like having a major blitz and like my coach is like, right, you can have one more week of getting drunk and being silly and that's it, head down.
Right, fine.
So yeah, now I'm like, I can't drink.
Okay, so it's morning after a bender, a very rare these days.
Yeah.
Proper sesh. What are you having to sort out the hangover?
I am having fried egg bacon.
Yeah.
On granary bread.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah.
A cup of tea and about 6 gallons of water.
Oh, very nice. Are we having any sugar in the tea or just straight up tea?
I'll have a little bit of sugar.
Yeah.
But I can't do sweet in the morning and I can't do coffee. I cannot do coffee on a hangover.
Okay, good to know. Good to know.
It forces the barf out of me.
Yeah, fair play. And we don't want that. No one wants the barf forced out of them. Beautifully put, may I add. if there's literally no other option, would you eat a person?
I think I probably would. Depends. It'll have to depend on the person. Can't have a skinny old person. It'd be quite meaty.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you'd eat someone, worth eating.
I'd have to be picky about it.
there's no point murdering some kind of supermodel, is there? You'd need to know someone with a bit, something to get into, tuck into.
Yeah.
The sun gets a cold and starts sneezing coronal mass ejections of lava everywhere, including at Earth, which are getting too big to bounce off our magnetic field. But luckily, the sun has agreed to get a rum and lemon down it and face its giant burning nose off into other bits of the universe and save the Earth. It'll only do it, though, if you, and weirdly it does have to be you, Andrea, agree to undo and retie the laces on every single laced shoe in Suffolk, all in less than a day. It sounds impossible, but you do it! You're a hero. Your reward is actually the adulation of all people for all time for saving Earth from being splattered to bits by sun lava, by sun sneeze. Your reward in the moment, and bearing in mind, you have just been hard at the lace untying and retying for a solid 24 hours. You are fucking starving. Your reward in the moment is the feast of your dreams. It's a fantasy feast, so I don't care about consequences. I couldn't give a shit about health, ethics, none of that. I just want to know, none of these things even need to be possible. And in a sense, so it's like a last meal, but it's almost like the opposite of a last meal because you couldn't be happier. And you couldn't be hungrier and more relaxed. There's no tension, there's no fear, there's no adrenaline, there's no sadness. This isn't the end of anything. This is the beginning of a blessed future where the world is your oyster and you are the king of all people. I'd love to know in that situation, and you're hungry as well, what would be your favourite things to eat and drink? And if there's a who, with and where, then who, with and where? And those things don't need to be possible either. It's a fantasy thing.
Wow. Okay. So I would have a full Caribbean meal of curry goat rice without the beans because I don't like the beans.
Got it.
Some fried dumpling plantain. I would also have a rather large pepperoni deep crust pizza.
Yes.
And some chicken wings.
Yes. What coating are you having on your chicken wings, please?
I like a ranch, actually. Spending a lot of time in America, I've liked a ranch sauce. Okay. Maybe some buffalo sauce, like a bit of barbecue buffalo, so like a mixture of two.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, because you could have two pots, because it's a fantasy.
Yeah. Then I would probably have a little bit of vegetable, so I'd have some sweet corn.
Lovely, okay.
Just for the sake of having a vegetable there. I would have to have some Ben and Jerry's ice cream. I'd also like to try the new Magnum ice cream pot because that looks amazing.
Have you not had that yet?
No.
The one in the pot that you have to crack?
I'm not allowed it. I can't eat it.
You fucking are allowed it. I was going to swap it in for some other things. You've got to try it. The one with caramel's the best. And
is it?
You just do exactly what it says. You've got to, I used that at the beginning of the relationship with the woman I'm now engaged to win her heart was an introduction to that Magnum tubs of ice cream. You wait the 10 minutes and then you go crunch, which again, very fun. You have to smash all the chocolate inside. Yeah. And then you get in and you peel the thing off and it's like, it's just Magnum ice cream, but with massive, great big shards of fit Magnum-y, which is so galaxy-ish type chocolates all through it. Oh, God, it's so good. All the extra, they've brought out loads now. There's like a millionaire shortbready one. There's all loads. There's like even fruity ones. They can all get fucked. Just get the milk chocolate one or the caramel and milk chocolate ones. Yes. Right. I want that to happen to you, please.
I'm gonna make that happen. That's going to happen.
At some point this summer.
I reckon in the next week, actually, because I would have been 3-4 weeks on plan. Then I can have I'll have the ice cream and I'm going to have pizza. Yes.
Oh, happy day. I'm as excited as you are about you having that day off plan. I'm plan-averse, can you tell? Thank you so much for doing this. I didn't ask if there was a who, with and where, actually, for your feast.
I've recently discovered Maya Angelou, Dr. Maya Angelou. Yeah. I think I would love to go back and have that feast with her.
Amazing. What an incredible choice. The best.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for doing my podcast. It's an honour to talk to
you. This has been fun. This has been one of the funnest ones I've done.
Yay!
I'm in my tum.
What a mind-blowingly brilliant guest. I can't believe I hoovered with the strongest woman in the world. Andrea's broken the world deadlift record twice, I think now. I think she could deadlift around 300 kilograms. I know definitely 290. It's extraordinary. She is amazing. It's a bit loopy to me, actually, that she isn't a household name. She's the strongest woman in the fucking world. Wake up, world, please. Appreciate a strong woman in it, will ya? All of you can follow her on the Instagram immediately, please, @AndreaThompson_strongwoman, or there'll be a link to that and to everything else interesting that we mentioned, as ever, in the podcast notes. That's also where you'll find a link to buy tickets to see Hoovering Live on the 17th of July in Soho, Cavendish Square, beautifully socially distanced, COVID safe everything. It's like a teepee, so it's not even a fully kind of indoorsy type small room. None of that skank. It'll be amazing with Joe Brand hoovering with me live on the 17th of July. Please come. Feel free to support the podcast with lovely reviews and recommendations, or indeed with actual money. I'd rather you spent your money coming to the live show, but if you've got even more, why not become a patron or go to Acast supporter? Links to those two are also in the podcast notes. If you want to look at live comedy dates that I've got going on, there are some and some exciting ones. Go to my website, jessicafosterq.com. That's also where you'll be able to email me if you've got anything longer than a tweet to tell me. @JessicaFosterQ I am on the social media, or @TheHooveringPod. I hope you're already following that, at least. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy hoovering.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.